Mornings are hard right now. Are you feeling that too? There's something about this time of year that feels extra slow, and sludgy and gunky aren't quite the right words for it, but there's like, and neither is heaviness. There's just this slowing down, this like increased or decreased viscosity. I don't know. I pretty much failed chemistry in first year university and was placed on academic probation, so I have no idea what's happening with thermodynamics. Wasn't expecting to start off the recording like this morning, but I'm too tired to begin again. So let's just go right into the Ghost of Christmas Present and Scrooge having just left the Cratchits' very cheerful and wholesome family Christmas. By this time it was getting dark, and snowing pretty heavily, and as Scrooge and the spirit went along the streets, the brightness of the roaring fires in kitchens, parlors, and all sorts of rooms was wonderful. Here, the flickering of the blaze showed the preparations for a cozy dinner, with hot plates baking through and through before the fire, and deep red curtains ready to be drawn to shut out cold and darkness. There, all the children of the house were running out into the snow to meet their married sisters, brothers, cousins, uncles, aunts, and be the first to greet them. Here, again, were shadows on the window blind of guests assembling, and there a group of handsome girls, all hooded and fur-booted, and all chattering at once, tripped lightly off to some near neighbor's house, where, woe upon the single man who saw them enter, artful witches, well they knew it, in a glow. But if you had judged from the numbers of people on their way to friendly gatherings, you might have thought that no one was home to give them welcome when they got there, instead of every house expecting company and piling up its fires half chimney high. Blessings on it, how the ghost exulted! How it bared its breadth of breast and opened its capacious palm and floated on, outpouring with a generous hand, its bright and harmless mirth on everything within its reach. The very lamplighter, who ran on before, dotting the dusky streets with specks of light, and who was dressed to spend the evening somewhere, laughed out loudly as the spirit passed through little Kend the lamplighter that he had any company but Christmas. And now, without a word of warning from the ghost, they stood up upon a bleak and desert moor, where monstrous masses of rude stone were cast about, as though it were the burial place of giants, and water spread itself wheresoever it listed, or would have done so, but for the frost that held it prisoner, and nothing grew but moss and firs and coarse rank grass. Down in the west, the setting sun had left a streak of fiery red, which glared upon the desolation for an instant, like a sullen eye, and frowning lower, lower, lower yet, was lost in the thick gloom of darkest night. "What place is this?" asked Scrooge. "A place where miners live, who labor in the bowels of the earth," returned the spirit. "But they know me. See." A light shone from the window of a hut, and swiftly they advanced towards it. Passing through the wall of mud and stone, they found a cheerful company assembled round a glowing fire. An old, old man and woman, with their children and their children's children, and another generation beyond that, all decked out gaily in their holiday attire. The old man, in a voice that seldom rose above the howling of the wind upon the barren waste, was singing them a Christmas song. It had been a very old song when he was a boy, and from time to time they all joined in the chorus. So surely as they raised their voices, the old man got quite blithe and loud, and so surely as they stopped, his vigor sank again. The spirit did not tarry here, but bade Scrooge hold his robe, and passing on above the moor sped. Whither? Not to see. To see! To Scrooge's horror, looking back, he saw the last of the land, a frightful range of rocks behind them, and his ears were deafened by the thundering of the water as it rolled and roared and raged among the dreadful caverns it had worn and fiercely tried to undermine the earth. Built upon a dismal reef of sunken rocks, some league or so from shore, on which the waters chafed and dashed the wild year through, there stood a solitary lighthouse. Great heaps of seaweed clung to its base, and storm birds, born of the wind, as one might suppose, as seaweed of the water, rose and fell about it, like the waves they skimmed. But even here, two men who watched the light had made a fire that through the loophole in the thick stone wall shed out a ray of brightness on the awful sea. Joining their horny hands over the rough table at which they sat, they wished each other Merry Christmas in their can of grog, and one of them, the elder too, with his face all damaged and scarred from the hard weather, as the figurehead of an old ship might be, struck up a sturdy song that was like a gale itself. Again the ghost sped on, above the black and heaving sea, on, on, until being far away, as he told Scrooge, from any shore, they lighted on a ship. They stood beside the helmsman at the wheel, the lookout in the bow, the officers who had the watch, dark, ghostly figures in their several stations. But every man among them hummed a Christmas tune, or had a Christmas thought, or spoke below his breath to his companion of some bygone Christmas day, with homeward hopes belonging to it. And every man on board, waking or sleeping, good or bad, had a kinder word for another on that day than on any day in the year, and had shared to some extent in its festivities, and had remembered those he cared for at a distance, and had known that they delighted to remember him. It was a great surprise to Scrooge, while listening to the moaning of the wind, and thinking what a solemn thing it was to move on through the lonely darkness over an unknown abyss, whose depths were secrets as profound as death. It was a great surprise to Scrooge, while thus engaged, to hear a hearty laugh. It was a much greater surprise to Scrooge to recognize it as his own nephew's, and to find himself in a bright, dry, gleaming room, with the spirit standing smiling by his side, and looking at that same nephew with approving affability. "Ha," laughed Scrooge's nephew. "If you should happen, by any likely chance, to know a man more blessed in a laugh than Scrooge's nephew, all I can say is, I should like to know him too. Introduce him to me, and I'll cultivate his acquaintance." It is a fair, even-handed, noble adjustment of things, that while there is infection in disease and sorrow, there is nothing in the world so irresistibly contagious as laughter and good humor. When Scrooge's nephew laughed in this way, holding his sides, rolling his head, and twisting his face into the most extravagant contortions, Scrooge's niece, by marriage, laughed as heartily as he, and their assembled friends, being not a bit behindhand, roared out lustily. I was going to continue reading, but my Kindle battery is at 2%, and I don't want to risk it dropping out in the middle of a scene. And plus, ending on the word lustily is really funny to just end on. Sometimes you just need a little bit of silliness in the world, and I think we could all use a little bit of silliness today and every day. All right, so we will pick it up tomorrow at Scrooge's nephew's Christmas party. Do you know anyone who has a good, solid laugh that makes you feel like everything's going to be okay in the world? Have you ever heard someone's laugh and immediately been like, I need to be their friend right now? I don't know if I've had that great pleasure, but I do appreciate Dickens's description of it. I was about to say subscription, but that's wrong. So, and with that, I'm going to drink some more tea and some more water. You should do the same. Drink some more water. It's dry. The heat's on. You dry out fast this time of year. All right, you kind and wonderful people. Thank you for letting me into your ear holes to read you a Christmas carol. I love you all so much. Take good care of your hearts, and I'll talk to you tomorrow, hopefully with a bit of a better voice than this thing that's happening today. A little bit dry. Definitely need more water. All right, talk to you later. Bye.